are a teacher, or a parent, or maybe even a grandparent, you might be familiar with the children's book concept of bucket fillers and bucket dippers, as conceived by Carol McLeod and Catherine Martin. Carol and Catherine suggest that each day, each one of us carries around a bucket. In the morning, our bucket is full, and every time we receive a kind word, a friendly smile, a sweet gesture, it's as if somebody poured some more kindness water into our bucket. But every time someone speaks a mean word, gestures rudely in our direction, or even ignores us, it's as if somebody took a dipper and dipped water out of our bucket. We are also instrumental in filling or depleting other people's buckets. There's a lot in our world that's emptying buckets today. There have been natural disasters robbing people of their homes and their livelihoods, between floods along the Gulf Coast and the Mississippi River, and fires in the West and the Southwest. Elsewhere in the world, there's a war going on between Armenia and Azerbaijan. There are disputed election results in Kyrgyzstan, leading to protests in the streets. There is flooding as a result of torrential rains in parts of India. And all that news gets pushed to the back burner by the politics of our own nation and the pandemic of COVID-19. And at the end of the day, it can feel like our buckets have been drained, and the anticipated debt is already piling up against tomorrow's promised bucket of bliss. Grace G. Sun Kim is an associate professor of doctrinal theology with the Presbyterian Church USA. In regards to draining buckets, Kim writes, within the Asian understanding of suffering, there's a Korean word, han, which tries to capture the notion of unjust suffering. Han encapsulates the experience of one's heart being ripped or pierced by the experience of being sinned against. Within Christianity, we are very concerned about the sins we commit against God, but sometimes fail to recognize that we also commit sins against our neighbors. The concept of Han recognizes that there are systems, institutions, and practices that cause unjust suffering for individuals, groups, and communities. As people face many kinds of evil and oppression, they experience harm, and therefore they need to turn to God. The pain and accumulation of harm can be released through the grace of God. It's a wonderful word that doesn't translate easily, but it really captures the deep sadness and the profound suffering experienced when too many bucket dippers come across our path. We strike bottom, our reservoir gets exhausted, we grow exhausted. The answer, the panacea for this deep pain, comes from having our buckets refilled by God. In his career, Paul drew from his relationship with God to maintain his equilibrium. Paul writes to the Thessalonians of these experiences. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dare to tell you his gospel in the face of such strong opposition. In Philippi, Paul and Silas were such controversial teachers and caused so much disruption that they were arrested, put on trial, beaten, and jailed. When released, they moved on to Thessalonica, where they found like-minded Jews and Greeks, but also faced opposition and were also run out of town. Paul could have found himself experiencing harm, and yet he continued to preach about the unconditional love and grace of God which he had met in Jesus. Now, the Greek word used to describe God's extraordinary love for us is agape. There are actually several Greek words we translate as love. There is philia, or brotherly love. That's a camaraderie, a fellowship, a companionship. Those all get summed up in philia. There's eros, the word applied to passion and desire. And then there is agape, the word that is most often applied to the relationship between God and humanity. Agape, the unconditional love and deep mercy God shows to us humans, the love and mercy we humans are invited to show to other humans. Agape, though, is a choice. It's more than a feeling. It is an active love that comes through kindness. It's marked by patience and generosity and compassion. It is mercy and forgiveness and grace. Agape is what Jesus means when he answers the question posed by an expert in the law of Moses, what is the greatest commandment? Agape the Lord your God, he says. Love God actively, not just sentimentally. Show your love for God with all your heart, but also your soul and also your mind. Show your love for God in all that you say and in all that you do. Just as you would your soulmate, set God's hopes and desires ahead of your own. And the second, Jesus said, is like it, agape your neighbor. To those two simple statements, Jesus adds that all the law, all the prophets, hinge on those two commandments. The Pharisees and the experts in the law parsed all the rules, examining each one in detail, a sort of micro view of the scripture, if you will. And Jesus instead takes this macro view. Rather than worrying about each individual law, Jesus says, what's behind every one of those rules and regulations is agape. And if you just choose agape, everything else is going to fall into place. You don't need the micromanagement of 613 laws if you just remember the big two. Love God, love your neighbor actively, mercifully, unconditionally, in all you say and do. And when Paul did that, he found the panacea to harm. He found his bucket was filled, not emptied, filled to overflowing. He learned from Jesus how loving God is. He learned what it feels like to be forgiven, to restore right relationships. He learned to receive God's love, and then how to pour it back out. He loved God and praised God and gave glory to God with all he had. And he poured out love even toward those persons who sought to do him harm. When he and Silas sat in that prison in Philippi, they shared songs and stories of God's love, and their jailer asked to know their God. The jailer asked. Paul and Silas poured out God's love and forgiveness and found that their storehouses were replenished. And so they traveled on to Thessalonica, and they kept sharing the songs and the stories about the amazing agape love of God. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts, he writes to the Thessalonians. We're not trying to trick you. We never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. We were not looking for praise from people. Like a mother cares for her children, we cared for you. Because we love you so much, we delighted to share with you our lives. Agape love, active love, grace-filled love, overflowing and pouring out because Paul's bucket keeps being filled up with God's love. As I put this message together, the words Dionne Warwick sang in the 70s came to mind. I bet y'all know this song. What the world needs now, love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. Remember that? Yeah. You could sing it with me. Our world, the people, the nations, the individuals in our world are suffering a deep sorrow and a profound sadness. Han, to use that expressive Korean word. The panacea our world needs now is love. Love, sweet love, active love, merciful love, grace-filled, unconditional, pouring out and overflowing love. The love you receive from God is enough to fill your bucket to overflowing every day, overflowing every day. 20th century Jewish theologian Abraham Heschel liked to tell the story about God gathering the angels around him every morning and asking one simple question, where does the creation need mending today? Be one of those angels. Mend the creation, dispel the han by filling one bucket at a time. sharing the overflowing love you have already received. For therein lies the beauty, a world in pain